Hey, thanks for joining us here at South Reno United Methodist Church, where we love God, love people, and make disciples. If you have any questions or want to know more about us as a church, you can always check us out online by going to southrenoumc.org. With that being said, let's go to this week's lesson.
Reading is from Jeremiah chapter 32, and I'll be reading from the Message. Jeremiah said, God's message came to me like this. Prepare yourself. Hanamel, your uncle Shallum's son, is on his way to see you. He is going to say, buy my field in Anatoth. You have the legal right to buy it. And sure enough, just as God had said, my cousin Hanamel came to me while I was in jail and said, buy my field in Anatoth, in the territory of Benjamin. For you have the legal right to keep it in the family. Buy it, take it over. That I did. I knew it was God's message. So I bought the field at Anatoth from my cousin Hanamel. I paid him 17 silver shekels. I followed all the proper procedures. In the presence of witnesses, I wrote out the bill of sale, sealed it, and weighed out the money on the scales. Then I took the deed of purchase, the sealed copy that contained the contract and its conditions, and also the open copy, and gave them to Baruch, son of Neriah, the son of Messiah. All this took place in the presence of my cousin Hanamel and the witnesses who had signed the deed. As the Jews who were at the jail that day looked on, then, in front of all of them, I told Baruch, these are the orders from the God of the angel armies, the God of Israel. Take these documents, both the sealed and open deeds, and put them for safekeeping in a pottery jar. For the God of the angel armies, the God of Israel, says, life is going to return to normal. Homes and fields and vineyards are again going to be bought in this country. The word of God for the people of God.
It's no secret that winter is not something that people who live in warmer climates are very good at. When the temperatures dip below 32 degrees, schools are already wondering if they should cancel. The threat of snow brings with it runs on water and bread at the local grocery store. And if it ever does actually snow, everything in the city shut down. But those who live in colder climates can't afford the luxury of a snow day every time it threatens to snow. Move to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and you'll find children headed to school all winter when the temperature is below freezing. Go to Buffalo, New York, and you'll find people making their way to work with feet of snow piled up on the sides of the roads. So how is it that some people thrive in certain conditions while others would be paralyzed in a situation not even half as severe? The answer is that people in cold climates don't hope for a change in their environment. Instead, they change their investment. Minneapolis and Buffalo have invested in winter. In cities like Atlanta, Georgia, or Charlotte, North Carolina, they are more invested in the other three seasons than in winter. The barest threat of winter shuts them down. But cities like Minneapolis and Buffalo know that if they don't invest in winter, they will never thrive. When it comes to making a life, most people are asking God to change their environment when God wants them to change their investment. Most people think if God would just change where they work, where they live, or the people that they work with, then their lives would instantaneously be better. But we long for a better place or better people. But God invites us to a different way. If you want to change your future, don't just pray for God to change your environment. Allow God to change your investment. That is what today's message is all about. How to invest in God's best. For the last several weeks, we've been journeying through a series called Fully You. In this series, we've been going through the book of Jeremiah to gain a glimpse into the life that God has designed and destined us to live, to get a clearer view into the true you. Early on, we were challenged to turn away from false versions of ourselves and false versions of God, and to declare our calling and our convictions, and to dream and plan after God's dream. This week, we're turning our attention to our investments. We could have the greatest dream and the greatest plan in the entire world, but if we don't choose to invest in them, very few things will change in our lives. The future belongs to those who invest in it. That is why today I want to challenge you to invest in your future. Today's passage finds Jeremiah in some pretty disturbing circumstances. The Babylonians have come back once more, devastated the land, and captured all the cities except for the capital, Jerusalem. At this point in the story, the Babylonian army is sitting outside the city, waiting for its residents to die of starvation and disease so they can capture it. Jeremiah is one of the people stuck in the city. While everyone in Jerusalem is withering away, Jeremiah has a message from God for them. The Babylonians will win, Jerusalem will fall, lots of people will die, and the survivors will be deported to Babylon. Their only hope is to surrender now. Obviously, this is a big message of doom and gloom, and the king can't tolerate Jeremiah proclaiming defeat and demoralizing everyone in the city. So he imprisons him in the royal barracks to shut him up. The only thing worse than starving in a besieged city is being stuck in a jail in that city. But in these desperate and difficult circumstances, Jeremiah refuses to be a product of his environment. Instead, he chooses to invest in God's best for his future. Let's look at that story Dale read earlier of Jeremiah 32. And it brings us to our first point. If you're not sold out to God, you will sell out to someone else. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah while he is under arrest. If I'm Jeremiah, I'm hoping that the word of the Lord will say he's about to release me from prison. But that is not what God says. Instead, God tells Jeremiah to invest in a piece of family property near his hometown as a sign of its future restoration and redemption. On the surface, this looks like a complete waste of money. The land that he is purchasing is under the control of the Babylonian army, and it has no value to anyone right now. Jeremiah's cousin, Hamamel, is probably desperately looking for a buyer as a last-ditch effort to put some kind of food on the table for his children, because the price of bread in Jerusalem is going through the roof, kind of like toilet paper around here. The only way Hamamel's land could possibly become valuable again is if the Babylonians go back to their country and leave the landowner alive there to farm it. And keep in mind, Jeremiah is the guy in Jerusalem who's been saying that this is never going to happen. This is why he's imprisoned in the first place. But God tells Jeremiah to buy the land anyway. This makes no sense even to Jeremiah, but God tells him to buy it and to send a message to his people. The best days of this land are not behind, but in front of it. Not immediate now, but far in the future, after the exile. You need to understand that for an Israelite man, his land was at the heart of his identity and destiny. The whole code of the law existed to help people keep their land because so much of their identity and destiny were tied to it. In this prophetic purchase, Jeremiah is making a prophetic statement. He buys the land not because it's useful to him today, but because it confirms the identity of his people tomorrow. In this purchase, Jeremiah refuses to sell out to his present environment and instead shows that he is sold out to God's preferred future. How we behave today is the best indicator of what we believe about tomorrow. Too often, pressed by our present circumstances, we sell out tomorrow's future because we are simply trying to survive today. But Jeremiah shows us a different way. Those who desire God's best must become sold out, or else we will sell out. We must be sold out to God's dream that he has placed in front of us. We must be sold out to who he says we are and what he has called us to do. We must be sold out to who he is and what he will do in and through us. It is only by being sold out to God that we won't sell out in our present circumstances. This is what investment is all about. It's about choosing to believe and commit to God's preferred future rather than being overwhelmed and overcome by whatever we are facing right now. It's easy to get overwhelmed by what we are living through right now. We encounter obstacles and threats and challenges every day of our life. These things tempt us to sell ourselves out to something less than God's best because the now looms so large. But if we could see on the other side of now, the side God sees, we would see that we have already won. This is the battle of investment. Looking past the now to the one, it's believing that God is restoring and redeeming all things and that those who choose to invest with him are making the right choice because they are sold out to the one. Today, I'm inviting you to step to the other side in the way that you think about God and life. I'm challenging you to leverage your now for God's best, because if you are in Christ, you've already won. I'm calling you to step simply to stop trying to survive with your life and instead invest your life in what God is doing in our world, restoring and redeeming all things. Point two, we make decisions, but our decisions make us. Every decision we make reveals what we truly prioritize and what we are truly invested in. In fact, the most spiritual thing that you do each day is not your devotions, but your decisions. We make decisions, but in the end, our decisions make us. What we choose today determines how we live tomorrow, whether it is with our money, our time, our relationships. Every day we are investing in something. Do you know what you're investing in? Are you allowing God to direct your investment in life? The reason Jeremiah invests in the piece of property is because God told him to do so. In other words, it's because Jeremiah is in touch with God's voice and that he knows how best to invest his future. Otherwise, he would have had no clue. God doesn't just invite Jeremiah to dream with him. God invites Jeremiah to invest with him. God is doing this same kind of thing with us, with our time, our money, our relationships. While we may not see the impact of these decisions during our lifetime, our decisions will have an impact on those who come behind us. Too often, the investments of our life are going in a different direction than the dream God invites us to pursue with him. That's why we must listen to God, not just for the what and the why of our life, but also for the how. It's why we need to be attentive to God's voice, not just one day, but every day. It's why all of our decisions should be anchored in what we hear God saying to us. Have you ever been down a cereal aisle You know, every kid who has ever been to the grocery store with their mom and dad knows the pain of walking up and down every single aisle where their mom and dad go shopping. Most aisles, children are simply silent, partners watching while they parents choose what to buy. However, there is one aisle where everything changes. It's called the cereal aisle. In this aisle, many parents turn to their children and ask them to pick out a box of cereal for the week. Now, the choices are overwhelming. There are so many different cereals for them to choose from. This is why in the not-too-distant past, marketers would put toys in cereal boxes. On the back of the box, the toys would look huge, and the promise of the toy inside led more than one child, me, to choose a cereal they didn't even like for the promise of the toy inside. The moment they got home, the kid would rush to open the box of cereal to find the toy inside, only to be disappointed by a toy that was incredibly small, pretty unexciting, and likely to break after playing with it for just a few minutes. In the end, they were left with a whole box of cereal that they didn't like. Life is lived in the cereal aisle. We live in a world that is wooing us to spend our lives investing in toys. On the back of the world's boxes, the toys look huge, but if we are not careful, we'll trade the substance of our faith for the toys that in the end fail to deliver on the promises they make, toys that ultimately leave us unsatisfied. That's why today I'm calling you to choose differently. I'm asking you to invest in the good stuff, the God-sized stuff that is really the substance of life. I'm asking you to submit your decisions to Him. Because when you invest in God's best, I believe you will also find that He also has your best interest in mind. Today, we've talked a lot about investments and decisions. I've encouraged you to align your investments to God's dreams and to invest in God's best. But did you know that long before you ever invested in God, He's been investing in you? Long before you make any decisions for God, He's been making decisions for your sake. He decided to send His Son, Jesus, to earth to live a perfect life, die our death, and be raised to life so that all of us could take part in God's best for life and for our world. In other words, God made a priceless investment and a massive decision out of love for us. When we turned our back on Him, He turned His face towards us. When we were useless, He valued us and made us useful. He saw a future for us when we were incapable of creating a future for ourselves. Everything we have in life testifies to His investment in us. So let's give God a return on His infinite investment by investing the gifts He's given us back into God's best for our world. The future is waiting to be created by those who see what God sees and does what God does. God is inviting you to join Him and me in creating the future today. So let's stop asking God to change our environment. And instead, let's start allowing God to change our investment. This week I had that happen. Pam and I heard a commotion at the front door of our house, and we stepped outside, and I looked down and I found this little rock. It said, "You are loved." You know, for somebody that's held up in their house, that's an amazing sign, and that's an amazing investment. My question to you is, have you reached out to your neighbors? Have you left a note on their door asking, how can you help? We had our neighbor across the street come, and he was on his way to Costco, and he wanted to know if we needed anything. That's what we're talking about. Investing. Jim Elliot, a missionary that gave his life for the Aka Indians, put it this way. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Love for God, love for others. That's the investment that God calls us to today.
As a church, it is our honor to play a small part in all that God is doing in and through your life. And we would like to continue with you on that journey. To find out what your next step could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to southrenoumc.org/next. After all, here at South Reno, we are all helping you become the person God created you to be.